Welcome, everybody. Welcome to today's slightly delayed episode of the Law of Self-Defense. I am, of course, Attorney Andrew Brank for the Law of Self-Defense. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Make sure everything's working where it's supposed to be working. I hope everyone had a good weekend. We had some bonus content this weekend, as you might have noticed, because of the re-indictment of Alec Baldwin. And that probably has some implications for all of you who watch my content on YouTube. So I did a show on Saturday, a live stream about the Adam Baldwin indictment. And as part of that, I showed a recorded video by Brandon Herrera in which he took a revolver identical to the one being used by Alec Baldwin in the shooting death of Helena Hutchins. And Brandon demonstrated that it was not possible for that gun to discharge without the trigger being pulled. Well, about halfway through that stream on Saturday, if you were watching on YouTube, you know this, YouTube just pulled the stream down, the live stream down about halfway through, about 45 minutes into the show, sent me an email telling me they'd done that and informing me that it was not within their rules, the YouTube rules, to show the handling of a firearm during a live stream. Now, I was aware that YouTube doesn't want live handling, like me during a live stream, handling a real gun. That's why I've avoided doing that. I wasn't aware that you couldn't show a recording of someone handling a gun during a live stream. I mean, that's basically what I do every show. So, and I'd never heard any complaints before. I presume that, you know, I'm guessing the only reason the complaint came in on Saturday was because I was covering Alec Baldwin. He's got a very, very good counter-propaganda team on board. Every time I cover him, this kind of stuff happens. But one of the implications is YouTube did not give my channel a strike for this first offense, but I have to presume they would do it again. They would strike the channel in the future. So I think any of the shows, any of the live streams I do that show gun handling, even in a like a body-worn camera type of way, will have to go on YouTube. Not as live streams, only as recorded content. So instant premieres or whoever that works on YouTube. Much like on Sunday, I posted up a recorded version of my Saturday show with the Brandon Herrera content removed. I guess I could have left it in because that was recorded content. But in any case, it's quite possible that those of you who enjoy my content on YouTube will not be able to enjoy live streams anytime I'm showing gun handling, I guess. So, yeah, we typically do co-stream on Rumble, so you can catch it there, or on Twitter, so you can catch it there on my Twitter account, at Law Self Defense. No of in the Twitter handle, by the way. Of course, even Twitter and Rumble are cut off before we get to the Q&A portion of the show. Then it's for members only. And the good news is it's dirt cheap to be a member of Law Self Defense. It's only 99 cents. For a 2-week trial membership at lawofselfdefense.com/trial. And after the 2 weeks, it's still dirt cheap. It's only 30 cents a day, about less than $10 a month to be a Law of Self-Defense member. And then, of course, you can watch all the live streams in their entirety, every show we do on the member dashboard. So for 99 cents, you might want to check that out at lawofselfdefense.com/trial. That's unfortunate, but that seems to be the way that YouTube wants things to run, and it is their house, and I do enjoy being able to put content on there, even though I don't monetize any of it anymore. I don't bother because it all just gets demonetized, but that's the way it is. So today's show, we're going to talk about a prank, a haymaker punch prank, a sucker punch prank, and the prankster does not fare well. So he pretends he's going to throw a punch at a passerby on a sidewalk. He doesn't. He holds back the punch. But the passerby takes offense at this prank and basically beats the prankster unconscious. There's no guns here, so hopefully this is okay to live stream with YouTube. There is that physical violence. There's no blood or gore, but the prankster is beaten unconscious. So that's what we'll be seeing today. So if that makes you uncomfortable, this is not the show for you. I'll share that video with you. Of course, it was caught on video. We'll talk about the legal implications as we always do. And then when we get to the Q&A section of the show, we'll cut off the YouTube, Twitter, and Rumble live streams, and we'll continue just with the Law of Self-Defense members, as per usual. All right, folks, with that out of the way, let's go ahead and launch the formal start of today's show. Okay, so we have the video of this event here. Very short video, only about 24 seconds. And it starts here with the gentleman in the black shirt, and it looks like a kerchief tied around his head. He's the prankster. And the victim of the prank is going to walk up in a light blue shirt, and the pretend sucker punch is going to be made, and then the passerby will respond. Here we go.
Yo! Hey! He out, man! Hey, no! He down, bro! He down, bro!
You'll hear him snoring right there. That's how you know someone's really unconscious, is when you get that snoring sound. All right, so let's take a look. What do we have going on here? So we can call this a prank. Comes up, braces his feet, and this passerby, he looks like he's looking at the dude. He's paying attention, because when that sucker punch comes in, look at this. This dude ducks down even before. There's no hand raised by the prankster, right? But he's stepping in like he's going to throw a haymaker. And the victim of the prank sees this, ducks down and get below the haymaker. That's good technique. And comes back with his own punch, first punch right there. Bam, bam. All right. So, is this an appropriate response right here? What the heck is that thing anyway, flying up in the air there? Is that the kerchief? Got right up his head. Well, what's the prankster actually doing in terms of the law? Well, he's committing an assault, right? A simple assault. Maybe you could argue it would be an aggravated assault. So an assault is when you conduct yourself intentionally in such a way that you're putting another person in reasonable fear of imminent unwanted contact. And if you're doing that in only a non-deadly force way, typically it's a simple assault, a misdemeanor assault. If you're doing that in a way to put them in reasonable fear of imminent deadly force harm, which means death or serious bodily injury, then it's an aggravated assault and it's a felony assault. So he's certainly committing an assault, right? He's deliberately creating in the victim's mind a reasonable fear of imminent harm. At the very least, it's a simple misdemeanor assault. Even though he doesn't throw the punch, he creates that state of mind in the victim here. That's by definition the crime of assault as traditionally defined in law school. There is no battery here by the prankster. The battery would be the actual touching, the unwanted touching. So he doesn't actually strike the victim here. Right? The prank is the assault, but it's not a battery. So we don't have assault and battery here. Is it a deadly force assault? Is it a felony assault? Well, deadly force includes not just force that can kill, but force that can cause serious bodily injury. Would a sucker punch from behind thrown with the apparent force, the full body that's being demonstrated here, could you argue that's reasonably likely to cause serious bodily injury to the person struck? I would suggest yes. I mean, loss of consciousness. We've all seen videos of the knockout game, right? Most of those knockouts are done in exactly this way. The victim never sees the punch coming. And so it's easy to knock them out. It's pretty hard to knock out someone who sees the punch coming because they tend to at least reflexively put their hands up and to some extent block the force of the punch coming in. So these knockout game folks, they come at you when you're looking at your phone, you're not paying attention from the blind side, and they throw as hard a punch as they can into your face, which certainly looks like what's happening here. Could this victim of this prank have a reasonable perception that he's the intended target of not just a simple assault, but an aggravated assault, an assault intended to cause him serious bodily injury, like knocking him out, loss of consciousness? I think he could make that argument. Now, that's the offense that's being committed against him. Now, the element of proportionality, of course, holds that the amount of force you can use in self-defense has to be proportional to the threat you're facing. And if you're only being threatened with non-deadly force, you can only use deadly force in self-defense. If you can't use, If you're only being threatened with non-deadly force, you can only use non-deadly force in self-defense. You can't use deadly force in self-defense until you're threatened with death or serious bodily injury, a deadly force attack. Now, if we believe this is a simple assault, and it clearly is, then certainly this, at least this first punch, would be a proportional response to the apparent threat. Now, is the threat real? Well, no, it appears to be a prank. Does it have to be real before you can defend against it? No, you can defend against the reasonable perception of the threat. And so certainly the first punch, probably the first few punches here, would be a proportional, non-deadly force response to a misdemeanor simple assault, which is what we have here. Could this victim here have immediately drawn a weapon and used it to defend himself? Well, yes, if you believe that the nature of the sucker punch attack was a deadly force attack, one reasonably likely to cause serious bodily injury, like loss of consciousness. If that's the intent here, then the defender could respond in a proportional way with a deadly force response. Now, of course, this defender doesn't do that. He does something else. And that is that he doesn't stop with the first couple of punches. He doesn't stop when the threat is apparently neutralized. And that touches on the element of imminence. Imminence says that you can defend yourself only against an attack that's actually occurring or immediately about to occur. It can't be something in the past. It can't be a speculative threat in the future. Imminence is like a window. It opens and closes. And your privilege to use force in self-defense is initiated when that window of imminence opens, when you're facing a threat of ability, opportunity, jeopardy. There's the ability to cause harm, opportunity to do so, conducting themselves in a way that suggests to a reasonable person that they intend to bring that ability and opportunity to bear. When this prankster does this sucker punch move here, is he presenting AOJ? Ability, opportunity, jeopardy. Sure, the ability to throw the punch, the opportunity, proximity to bring it to bear, and he's conducting himself in a manner that a reasonable victim of this prank would believe he's about to do that. AOJ is present. We have an imminent threat. We've already talked about the intensity of the threat. So there's an imminent threat here. First punch. Great. I mean, the window of imminence is opened, right? Second punch, third punch, punches him to the ground. At this point, given that the nature of the threat was a barehanded punch, at this point, can we still articulate that the window of imminence is open? Is there still AOJ? I would suggest perhaps not. Certainly, when the beating continues, see the toes go up there? Right now, the prankster is still probably trying to defend himself from the blows, but his feet, toes go up, feet relax, he's unconscious. Once he's unconscious, could there possibly be any imminent threat from an unconscious attacker? I would suggest no. But the beating continues. It continues. It continues. Until finally, the victim of the prank is called off, and this prankster is clearly unconscious, as we heard the snoring at the end already. Can this continued beating be justified as self-defense? I would suggest not. I mean, there is no imminent threat anymore. Could it be classified as what might be called an educational beatdown. Now, an educational beatdown is a real thing. I mean, another way to say it would be F-A-F-O, right? F around, find out. But the concept of an educational beatdown is when a beating is sustained for longer than necessary for self-defense to teach someone a lesson, hence the education part of educational beatdown. And a component of an educational beatdown is that the community observing this would agree that it's appropriate under the circumstances and not see it as a crime. Now, the law does not justify educational beatdowns, but the community would say that guy stepped over the limits of what we consider acceptable behavior, and now he's getting a beating and he's earned it. And we're not going to intervene unless the beating gets to a point where we think it now exceeds the educational value that was merited. And that's what happens here. They let him continue throwing punches when clearly he doesn't need to do it for self-defense anymore. But they stop him before he actually beats the prankster to death. Right? That's a step too far for the community. But if you ask him, I doubt anybody watching this would say that was undeserved. Not legally warranted, probably. I want to make clear. But certainly well-deserved. Because this kind of behavior is not going to be tolerated. And frankly, I would have no public policy objection to it being legally permissible. You would just have to write the laws differently to allow for that. But these pranksters in the social media age are a plague on all of us. And they initiate a lot of conduct that could readily result in their death, right? We saw the Alan Coley event where the prankster ends up getting shot. I mean, it's only a miracle he's not dead. And of course, Alan Coley then had to go to trial and defend himself without the help of USCCA. Thanks, USCCA. And he did get convicted on one charge, the discharge of a firearm in a building charge. The actual use of force charges he was acquitted on, the actual shooting, for example, malicious wounding, I believe. He was acquitted on that charge and irrationally by the jury in what was almost certainly a compromise verdict, convicted on the discharge of a weapon charge. If the only way he was not legally responsible for malicious wounding was if you believed he did it in self-defense. And if he did it in self-defense, that logically covers the discharge of the firearm in the building too. So the split verdicts make no sense other than as some kind of compromise among the jury. But that's the risks that these pranksters run. Not just the risk of them getting shot. I hardly care about them, but they're creating risk for the victims of their pranks who may defend themselves, like Alan Coley. So I think, what else? Oh, I will say, so I had mentioned that if you felt you could credibly argue that this sucker punch would have been reasonably perceived as a deadly force threat, you could use deadly force in self-defense. That could potentially include a beating to death, except proportionality is not the only element of self-defense, right? We also have that element of imminence. And once the window of imminence is closed, once there's no longer ability, opportunity, jeopardy, there is no privilege to use force. Remember, self-defense requires all the required elements of self-defense. If any one is missing, you have no legal privilege of self-defense. So I forgot to mention today's sponsor, which is none other than Law of Self-Defense itself, in the form of our excellent book, Law of Self-Defense Principles. This is the handbook to making yourself hard to convict if you're ever compelled to use force in defense of yourself, your family, or your property. Check it out on Amazon. 5-star rated, 1,500 something reviews, I think. Bestseller in its category on Amazon, but don't buy it on Amazon. They'll charge you $20 or $25 for the book, plus shipping and handling. We only ask you to cover the cost of shipping the book to you. The book itself we give you for free at lawofselfdefense.com/freebook. lawofselfdefense.com/freebook, or scan that QR code right there on the window. All right, so no, I don't believe the prankster died. When you hear that snoring at the end, that's unconscious breathing. That's all. Getting pop-ups on my computer. All right. Oh, Chris says the book is great. Thank you very much, Chris. I really appreciate that. Well, folks, we are now at the Q&A portion of the show, which means that the open access streams end. So YouTube, Rumble, and Twitter are going to be closed. And we'll be continuing with the live stream only for Law of Self-Defense members. Again, you can become a Law of Self-Defense member right now. Just open up another tab on your computer, lawofselfdefense.com/trial. For 99 cents and be emailed instructions on how to join us for the remainder of the show. Typically, we have about 15 or 20 minutes of Q&A that you get to participate in only if you are a Law of Self-Defense member. Lawofselfdefense.com/trial for that two-week trial membership for 99 cents. So I'm going to play our little outro music that we play when it's time for the open access streams to end. If you're a Law of Self-Defense member, don't go anywhere. We'll be back in about 18 seconds. With the remainder of the members-only Q&A portion of today's show. Here we go.